G'day! Welcome to Walking Movies. This is a special episode of Walking Movies. I mean, in my mind, they're all special. But this one in particular, because it's a double bill. Don't do these very often. I actually thought the last time I did a double bill was the week before lockdown in 2020, when I watched The Hunt and Bloodshot. I think it was called Bloodshot. But then I just remembered last year I saw E.T., 40th anniversary IMAX, and Spider-Man No Way Home 4DX. So I don't do them very often, but I do them on occasion. And the reason for doing this today is because I have got today off work, because I can't even tell you how many weeks holiday I get a year, but I've taken so little holiday. They said it's coming up to the end of the year and you've got to use up your holiday or lose it. And I had 3 weeks. 3 weeks to take off. I think I get 5 weeks. I get 4 weeks. But you can carry over a week's worth of holiday every year, which is what I generally do and never really use it. So, yeah, I've got to take 2 weeks off this month, which I've staggered because I've still got work to do. And today is one of those days. So there were two films I've been trying to see, and well, one I've been trying to see, one has come out today. So I will be seeing Scream 6, and I'll also be seeing Shazam Fury of the Gods, I think, or Fate of the Gods, I don't know, it doesn't matter, we're not talking about it now, we're talking about Scream. That's the film I'm going to see first. Stars Melissa Barrera, Jasmine Savoy-Brown, Mason Gooding even. I wonder who's related to Cuba Gooding. Jenna Ortega, Hayden Panettiere, and Courtney Cox, who have all been in various installments in the past. Courtney Cox, I think, is the only one to return from the original lineup. There was quite a public issue with Neve Campbell, which led to her not appearing in this film, because they underpaid her, or were going to underpay her, so she turned the offer down. And fair play to her, like, she knows her worth, and if they couldn't meet, then so away the cookie crumbles. So last year, I think the first one I saw of last year was Scream 5. Bit of an unexpected hit. I mean, Scream franchise is a big brand in horror. But regardless, Scream 4 came out quite a bit before that. Didn't really do anything. So this was a return to the franchise. It was a big hit and led to a sequel being greenlit quite quickly. I have talked about Scream when we did this last year, and about my thoughts on the franchise as a whole. But the premise of this one looks interesting. It's had very mixed reviews. Mark Kermode, I listened to, basically just drop his pants and shit all over it. But last night, I recorded a podcast with my good friend, Mr. Christopher Ripley. And he just comes to see it, and he said how great it was. So I thought, well, I'd wondered what I was going to see next, and I thought, oh, well, I'll go and see that. Weird thing, though, my cinema is not showing films in the morning anymore. The first time they're showing films is from about 12:30 in the afternoon. So my plan was to kind of get a film watched early, go home, doodle about, and then come back later today to go and see Shazam. Instead, I'll be seeing Scream, having about an hour's break, and then watching Shazam. So there you go. So I'll keep these separate. No, this will be the Scream intro, and then I will see the film, tell you my thoughts, then do an intro for Shazam, and the same again. And, you know, I imagine there'll be a spoiler section, which I've had some feedback on. People like the spoiler section. I don't think everything warrants it, but there's definitely things that I've reviewed before that I've purposely not gone into details about that I kind of wish I had. So I will be doing that. And what I do is I play the music at the end of the episode, and then if you continue listening after the music's finished, then it's spoiler time. So I'll be doing that with at least Scream, if not Shazam as well. So there you go. Warning for you. Oh, that's my Apple Watch telling me I'm on a walk. I know. I'm doing it right now. But, yeah. I'm not sure how to feel about going into Scream, because I like the last one. And as I've heard both good and bad reviews of it. So as long as I enjoy it as much as the last one, I'll be happy, I think. But we'll see. And of course, it started to rain. I don't know if you can pick that up on that, 'cause I'm trying to keep the microphone covered with my hat. I've got a waterproof cap that I wear on days like today. It wasn't raining when I started recording, but it's raining now. Oh, isn't it raining now? So, yeah, I'll stop yabbering, put this into a dry location, and we'll catch up with you after I've seen Scream 6, Ghostface Takes Manhattan. That's not what it's called, by the way. It should be, because that's all I know about Scream 6. It takes place in New York, and that was one of the entries. Maybe six or seven of Friday the 13th was Jason Takes Manhattan. They should have done that. But hey, I'm not the head of a movie studio, so what do I know, really? Anyway, I will speak to you again about this film after this bit of music. Okay, the rain's gone, and the first film is done. So, Scream 6. Alright, quick synopsis for you. The survivors of the last Scream film have left Woodsboro, gone to New York to go to college and leave that behind in the past. But of course, that's not what happens. The past always catches up. So look, I know someone that really loved it. I don't know Mark Mode, but I know he really hated it. And I am absolutely firmly in the middle. And I'm going to give you my score straight away. It's a 5. A 5 out of 10. I really enjoyed the first two thirds. It's got a really good beginning. It's got some interesting things that happen throughout the film. But for me, it all just completely falls to bits for the final third. Really didn't like it. It's a fine film, and if you like the Scream series in any way, it's worth a watch. But this was a Scream too far for me. Now, when I say that, am I going to go and see Scream 7 when it gets greenlit? Yeah, guess I will. Glutton for punishment. But yeah, I'd be interesting. I should go back and listen to that Scream 5 review and see what I gave that. But I feel that I enjoyed that film more overall. But yeah, I'm just a little bit bummed, really. I didn't enjoy it as much as I hoped to. But as I said, performances were fine. The film was just fine in the end. And it's a shame, because as I said, I really enjoyed the first two thirds. But I hope you go and see it and make up your own mind, because it feels like it's dividing people quite a bit. So that's all I can say. I always say, would I recommend you go and see the cinema?
Nah.
I would wait for this to drop on Paramount Plus or whatever streaming service it's going to be. I'm sure it's a Paramount film. It's going to be on Paramount Plus, isn't it? I don't think it's worth handing over your hard-earned cash to watch Scream 6. So that's my review. But there will be spoilers. So if you want to hear why I didn't like Scream 6, then listen after the music has played, and I will tell you in more detail. But until then, Flynn lives, and fuck the Tories. Man, oh man, oh man. Scream 6. So, we are now in spoiler territory. The bell should have rung by now, so you know. Right. I never saw Scream 4, so I had no connection to that film. This film has a very big connection in that with Hayden Panettiere. I knew that. She was announced. It wasn't like a surprise that she was in it, but because I don't have that, because I never saw that one, I didn't really know her character, and I didn't recognise her. I mean, I've not seen her in so long, but she has obviously grown up and now looks like a woman. Doesn't look like how she did in Heroes, which is where I first saw her. She's fine, by the way. Like, everyone's fine in it. Like, the performances are fine. Why didn't I like it? Well, a film like Scream relies on who's doing the crimes, right? Who's doing the murders. And I thought the whole reason... So, technically two Ghostface killers in this one. There's a nice fake out death for one of the characters who's a ghost face killer. The other one is very, very, very predictable. You can probably guess that from the start. There's a very tenuous link. So the reason why you've got a crooked cop and two killers is because they are the dad and siblings of Richie from the last film, who for some reason decide that they didn't want... Like, I can't even work out. I think they just didn't want their son to be known as a killer or something, so they tried to pin it on Samantha's character. But it didn't really make much sense. I mean, they should have just moved on. Just let it be. Not try to blame someone else in it. So I found that very stupid. The thing I hate most about this film is the deaths versus non-deaths, because people died for getting multiple stab wounds, as you expect, and then other people got stabbed more times and survived. And I fucking hate that. I know these films are for our entertainment, but if you're going to try and pretend you're realistic, then you can't do shit like that. It just made no sense. Chad gets stabbed like well over 10 times and he's fine. And there was another, I can't remember what the character's name was, but it was a love interest, and she got pinned against the wall and basically sliced upwards, and was able to crawl across the ladder. Like, what fucking world is this? Another thing, so the whole kind of climax takes place in this abandoned cinema, which has become a shrine to the actual murders that the you know, all the killings are based on, all what we've seen, and you know what's been recreated in the Stab film. And for some reason, this shrine was curated in New York, where none of the characters lived. So build this shrine to, or also Richie and his dad build this shrine about this stuff because he was really into it. But why? Why there? He didn't live in New York. There was no connection to New York. So what the fuck is that about? Like, just stuff that just doesn't make sense. So, and all, everyone that's left alive by the end, again, doesn't make sense. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't want Chad to die. But when you see him get stabbed that many times, he's a goner. And they did pull a little bit off that in the last one as well, but I found it even more obnoxious in this film. And so that's the reason why in the first half, in the last half, I hated it. I was just like, I just begging for it to be over, which you shouldn't do. And also that last third does feel very bloated for whatever reason. I don't know why, but it just seemed to be quite slow for me. That said, I think what I did really like, the opening sequence. I think the opening sequence was very unique and fresh for the film series. Samara Weaving doing her natural accent, which you don't normally see her do in films, especially Hollywood films, so that was good. And Tony Rivervoli, I can never pronounce his name, but you know, Flash Thompson from the Spider-Man MCU films, yeah, that guy. He pops up at the beginning as well. I enjoy both of them as actors, so you know, I enjoyed them being in the film. But even with what they were doing, I thought that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So I don't know, maybe I missed a line of dialogue or something. I didn't fall asleep, but maybe I missed something. But yeah, I just thought the whole thing, the whole solution to the puzzle was a giant mess, which made no sense. And that's why I only gave it a 5. So there you go. Right, if you've watched the film and you've heard the spoilers, let me know what you think. Do you agree with my problems with the film, or do you think I'm being over dramatic? If you haven't watched the film but you've listened to the spoilers, is that now going to make you watch the film? See if I'm right or wrong. I don't know, let me know. But yeah, we're having a slight break now in between the two films. I've got an hour and a half. I thought it was only an hour, it's not, it's an hour and a half, so I'm going to keep myself busy. And we'll talk to you about Shazam on the next episode. And yeah, see you soon. Cheers. Okay, a quick final thing that I forgot to mention. When I'm watching the film, I'm looking at Jenna Ortega, and I suddenly thought to myself, she's like the female Pete Davidson. She's got a very, very similar looking face. And now I've seen it, you have to as well. So there you go. Bye.